You are now joining The Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I am your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is...
Mac Lacey. Man, this is it. This is the last episode we're going to be putting out on the public feed probably before season two comes out.
Yeah, unless something major were to happen, this is it.
Right, unless we get like another major trailer or something.
Would you consider the trailer that we have now, is that a major trailer in your opinion?
No, I think it's a very appropriate trailer. Not major, but it does the job, you know?
Yes, I do know.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about all that, and then we're going to be getting to some of y'all's voicemails, hearing from y'all, the listeners. But before that, let's do just a little bit of business.
Yes.
Reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram. You can just search The Mandalorian Watch and find us. Send us all your thoughts, theories, excitement for season two coming out. But more importantly than that, give us a follow and leave us voicemails. So we have a voicemail box that we like to receive comments from the listeners on.
I like to call it a voicemail hotline.
You do, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to call it a voicemail hotline.
Because
hotline implies that it's...
it's a hotline.
It's live. It's hot. But if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, like the lovely people that you'll hear from later on, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 205-259-6675. 205-259-6675. And then we also have a Patreon.
We do have a Patreon. We have a lot of cool bonus episodes on there. And when the season starts, we will also do extra voicemail hotline episodes exclusively for our patrons, whom we love. But if you're new to the podcast, maybe this is your first time checking out the podcast, we are the number one podcast, like we said, in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. And so after each and every episode, we are going to be breaking down in glorious detail that is easy for you to digest, so we can do this together in a scene-by-scene manner. So we will literally, every single scene, break down all the details, discuss them, give you our thoughts and theories, and then later in the week, we do voicemail hotline episodes where you can call in to that very number Mac just said, and you give us your thoughts and theories, and we discuss those as well. And it's just a lot of fun, and I cannot wait. We are like 1 week away.
Yeah, it's no time. No time at all. But one more time, that's 205-259-6675. Give us a call. All right, let's talk about this new little trailer, this little first look thing.
Special look, sorry.
Yeah, I guess we've already gotten trailers, so it's not really first. But
That's how they were labeling it for Monday Night Football. We'll get into the reaction to it a little bit online later. But let's just break it down. So this will give you a little snippet of how we like to break things down if you are new to the podcast. So let's just jump right in. So the trailer begins immediately with us seeing the Lucasfilm logo, and we are hearing what we assume to be X-Wing pilots. And yeah, they say, Razor Crest, stand down.
Yeah, that's interesting. So obviously there's some conflict between, you know, either the Republic or whoever else it could be on the other end of those radios. It's a great way to start a trailer, though.
Yeah.
Gives you the stakes, the tension right there, so.
And it does from the audio, and then when we see the clip of the shot of the Razor Crest zooming through the clouds and the X-Wings right behind them, which we have seen before, but with the audio, it creates a new kind of twist on something we've already seen. Now, this is... Everyone kind of assumed, okay, the X-Wings are chasing Razor Crest, but that's not necessarily what's happening here because...
Right. Yeah.
It's just saying stand down. They're just saying stand down. Like, the Razor Crest might be going after someone, and they're like, hey, don't do this. Don't pursue.
Yeah, they could be working together for all we know.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. But,
so,
Yeah, who knows? It looks awesome. Are we thinking still that this icy planet that they're on possibly might be Ilum?
Possibly.
It's an icy cold planet, regardless.
Yeah. So we do see a close up shot of him piloting the ship through an icy crevasse, and like we said in several episodes ago,
crevasses are huge.
It's a
big thing for this season.
They are back in movies, several. TV shows. Yeah. They're making a big comeback in 2020. For sure. Yeah.
It's the year of the crevasse.
And so he bangs against the side and he spins out of control against the icy, kind of, I guess, surface. And after the special look reminds us of when it comes out, which is October 30th, we see a shot of the Mandalorian walking on what we assume is Nevarro, which is the main planet that really we spent the most time on last season.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's nice. You get like a shot of his boots and stuff first. It's kind of very, very Western vibes.
Yeah. And then Cara Dune and Greef Karga come out to greet him. And behind them, the city looks much more lively than when we last left it.
For sure. It's not.
There's some culture there now.
Yeah. Even like Kara's costume is like brighter colored. It looks brighter green, and like Greef's got that red under his like overcoat type thing too, you know. Like, I get the feeling time has passed.
Yeah. It does seem like something has happened between season 1 and season 2.
Right.
However, we don't know what episode this is. That might not be the very first episode.
Very true.
So maybe in that sense time has passed, but it's just because it's not, you know, the next chapter or whatever. So one thing that I was thinking about is I definitely think that I'm right. One of my theories is that Greef Karga is the magistrate of Nevarro now, and Cara Dune is his,
like, enforcer or just like his bodyguard, like, right-hand man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking is happening there, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, that checks out to me.
Yeah. And then we see the Mandalorian holding Baby Yoda in his arms, and then we hear him speak. And again, I feel like this is a little bit of misdirection, or this audio is not actually going with this scene. But he says, "I'm here on business. I need your help. I've been quested to bring this one back to its kind."
Yeah, it sounds like a weird audio edit that I do at work sometimes, where I'm trying to make somebody say something that they never said.
Do you work for the FBI? What do you
like? No, just you know, in video production, but just part of the territory. Yeah. No, but like the quested word sounds weird. Sounds spliced in
it,
there.
It's not so much that audio, the way that it's put together. It's the fact that Cara Dune and Greef Karga already know that because they were with you when the armor gave you that quest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's definitely not saying that to them.
Right.
It's just for the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he would just, "Hey, just remember, you were there with me when I was quested to do this."
Right.
I don't think he's saying it to them.
Yeah.
No. So, anyways, Greef shakes arms with Mando, or the Mandalorian, and it's like one of those, like, Roman, like,
it's like the Roman.
Yeah,
I like doing that. It's a good handshake. It makes you feel more. It's like elevating a handshake. It's not this casual thing. Like, that's an intimate.
It's more intimate.
Like, yeah, it is for sure.
Yeah, except I could maybe next year, instead of doing that, they'll just do like an elbow bump or something.
Probably be an elbow bump.
Yeah. Then we cut to a shot of a speeder in a desert on what we assume is Tatooine, because we know we're going back to Tatooine.
Yep. And we got a Bantha skeleton right at right at the beginning of the shot. It moves out of frame pretty quick, but I paused it just to make sure.
Are you sure it's a Bantha and not a Krayt dragon?
I'm positive it's a Bantha.
Okay.
I paused. I have it pulled up right now just to make sure, because that was my exact thoughts. I was like, all right, I saw some bones. Got to determine what it is, but I'm seeing the curved horns and everything. So,
okay.
Bantha.
Okay. Good deal.
For sure.
Then we cut to the Mandalorian back on the snowy planet, and it's snowing on him as he looks up. And then we hear the audio say, if I can locate, and this is the biggest part of the entire trailer, by the way.
Oh, this is really the only new information, and it's not even anything crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's things that we all assumed, but they're now actually officially alluding to it.
Right. He says, if I can locate other Mandalorians, they can guide me.
Yeah. So that just means other Mandalorians. I feel like that might be a little bit of a foreshadowing for Bo-Katan and the like. I feel like that's kind of where that line is headed. But then it also could be a reference to maybe Boba Fett. Yeah.
See, that's where my mind went immediately.
I immediately first went to like Bo-Katan and kind of.
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
Yeah, except me.
Well, you're just weird, I guess.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, but if it's Boba Fett, that's interesting. Because then they'd be confirming that Boba Fett and Jango Fett are Mandalorians again. Because they go back and forth on that, it seems like, every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So, it's about time for a reversal.
Why does he need other Mandalorians, and why doesn't he just go back to the armor?
It's a good question. I think it's probably a line that's not an actual line, right? So I wouldn't take it I didn't take it too literally in the context. I didn't think about the story implications and stuff of the line. To me, I thought of it more of like, what is Lucasfilm trying to communicate to the audience here?
But there's going to be more Mandalorians.
There's going to be more Mandalorians, which I think everybody wants, right? But like, everybody loved when the covert showed up in Chapter 3.
That's the thing, though, is those moments,
you know?
We've seen them already. It's not like it's a big thing. It's like,
right,
yeah.
But they're dead. And so we got to go find new Mandalorians. That's why I'm thinking it's got to be a named character that we know, right? Like, it's got to be a Bo-Katan. It's got to be a Boba Fett. Something like that.
One of our voicemails will allude to this, but hopefully these new Mandalorians that he meets, not the new Mandalorians, but these Mandalorians will help him realize you don't always have to wear your helmet.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Mandalorian is an attitude. It's a philosophy. It's not a, don't have to keep your helmet on the whole time. How do they eat? They don't eat unless they're all alone in their closet.
We saw that in Chapter 4. He did take it off when nobody was around.
And he was actually in front of a window that anyone could have just looked
at. Yeah, if they literally just looked up, they would have seen his face. But.
You get me.
Yeah. So, then we see a shot of the Razor Crest, what looks to be an icy cavern now with the light shining down on it.
I like the spice you put on that cavern.
I like it. It's what it is. I assume after it skids across the ice, it falls into that cavern.
Through the crevasse. Of course.
Yes. And then we see a shot of him working on the Razor Crest again. Except without Quill this time,
which is
he's dead.
So sad.
Yes, he is.
Maybe
dead.
Yeah. So I mean, looks like not quite as extensive of repairs. No scavengers have stripped it yet.
Yeah,
so.
It looks like he can totally do this on his own.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the Gamorrean wrestling den, and the Mandalorian speaks with the one-eyed alien, and he says, "This is no place for the child," which we saw in the last trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, again, which we've heard before, wherever I go, he goes. And then we see the actual scene from the blackout part of the last trailer.
Yeah.
No Darksaber.
Right.
Yeah, because I assume this, I actually think this is the first episode. I think this is the first chapter.
Maybe he's scenes like going, that. Maybe this is almost sort of like, he's going on a fact finding mission. Yep. He's like got this informant, but then that makes sense.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of the opening scene, and that's why they kind of hesitated on showing it at first, but then they just realized
that makes sense.
We don't want to show anything else, so let's just go ahead and show this.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. And then we see a stormtrooper carrier driving out of what looks to be an Imperial facility. And actually, yeah,
that's for sure stolen by our heroes, right?
Yeah. And it actually looks like
looks like a ship.
Well, I was going to say the facility looks like the science facility in Rogue One. It's very similar.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And then we see two scout troopers pursuing. And then inside the stormtrooper carrier, we see Kara, the blue Mithral from the very first chapter, and Greef, which the Mithral is played by Horatio Sands from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Do you by any chance think that those two scout troopers are our two scout troopers that we know?
Could be.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. Bacta does amazing things.
It does. As we stated in our Chapter 8 commentary, which the patrons, you guys got that just a little bit ago. But the two scout troopers that are... We're basically calling them Tag and Bank just for the ease of nomenclature. But they're definitely not dead, for sure. They could have made it easily.
Yeah, Bacta does amazing things. And then we see a quick shot of the Mandalorian looking up, and then several quick shots of Kara, Baby Yoda, and then another shot of the door opening, and we see Cara Dune, the Mandalorian, which is named Din Djarin. We know his name. We just like calling the Mandalorian. And Greef Karga have their weapons drawn. And then we see a quick shot of Greef on the turrets, and again, I assume that's inside the stormtrooper carrier.
Yeah. And I'm very excited to see that. I love turret scenes because it's always funny how different characters, you know, react when put under that pressure. I'm looking like just the acting that Carl Weathers is doing makes me think he's like, this is like my trying to teach my grandpa how to do something on Facebook or something.
Right. Yeah. And then we see more shots of walking, and then we see the TIE fighters with lava exploding behind them, and I am almost 98% sure this is still Nevarro. And then we see the Mandalorian saying, "Here we go," and then he flies over, you guessed it, a crevasse. And then that's it.
That half side cape thing's looking great. The music... my favorite thing from this trailer was the music. We actually got kind of a good sense of what it, kind of that new flavor, I guess. Like, it's the same motif from the theme, but it was just in this really big, like, crescendo with a bunch of more instruments added in, and it sounded really cool. It did sound good.
It was awesome. So,
yeah, which the music was really kind of missing from the last one. Like, it just wasn't, there wasn't anything notable, you know. So like that moment I was glad to get.
Right. Well, so general takeaways.
I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
I liked this trailer a lot, and I think this is a very among at least our circle, it's kind of a commonly held opinion. This trailer was great because like it got me interested. It whet my appetite a little bit, but it didn't give anything away. I have no secrets or anything that I learned from this trailer. You know, like I can't predict anything after this trailer that I couldn't predict before seeing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And we're going to talk about this in just a second when we do the voicemails and all of that. I think as Star Wars fans, we have a tendency to really hype ourselves up to the point where we make ourselves disappointed when something does not go. And like we start, especially on Twitter, we start believing things that are not true. Like by the time the trailer was about to premiere, you had people on Twitter stating with a matter of fact that Ahsoka was going to be in the trailer, that Bo-Katan was going to be in the trailer. People were just like expecting that, obviously. And then when it's just 1 minute long and that's not what it is, of course people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But again, we got to know who the audience is of Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
We're watching it already. Like, we're going to watch the show already. This was to get them. This was to get the mass audience or general audience. Hey, this is coming out in like a week and a half. Be ready for it.
People who still somehow don't even know that like Star Wars is making TV. you know? Like, right. People who aren't even, like, that up to speed. And there's nothing wrong with that, but, like, it's just that's the audience. Us in Star Wars land get kind of, yeah, I think you made a great point. We kind of confuse, like, what we know and what the general public knows.
Right.
And that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all. At all. And so this is just to get people like, hey, season 2 is coming. Get ready. And I honestly don't want to see, we're so close now. I don't want to see anything. The time to see stuff like that was 2 months ago. And
yeah.
Now we're just so close. I don't want to see it.
Yeah. I agree. Because like we're going to get what we're going to get at this point. Like, so let's just get it. Like, I'm ready for it to be presented to me.
Yes.
But this trailer did get me very excited. Just hearing the music and seeing our heroes and everything. I'm so pumped.
Yeah. You know, okay, so back to the icy world. Let's talk about that real quick because I kind of skipped over a point in breaking it down. We know that he's looking for Mandalorians now, right?
Yeah.
We know of an icy planet the Mandalorians occupy is Cro'Nest.
Cro'Nest.
From Star Wars Rebels. It could be Cro'Nest.
That looks more icy, where Cro'Nest looks more snowy to me. But
true.
Planets are big places. It could be a different part of the planet, something like that.
Really looks like Ilum, though.
It really looks like Ilum, with the almost crystalline, like...
Which
Hoth just looks like Antarctica, right?
Yeah.
This looks like something else, you know?
And Ilum is all but confirmed to be the site for Starkiller Base.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Because that, I mean, it's one giant lightsaber. I mean, it's the Kyber crystal.
Yeah.
You don't have to move it or transport it. It's just there.
You just make it into the planet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Do you think that might... See, when you just said that, I almost made the connection that maybe Moff Gideon might have something to do with the formation of the First Order.
Possibly. See, yeah.
Like, maybe he's involved in that, you know? Because, like, that would be the correct time period, right?
Right. And I'm glad you brought up Moff Gideon, because he was nowhere to be seen in this trailer. And I think...
Correct.
He
was very heavily featured in the last one, though. The last one focused on him a lot, I think.
Yeah, but it was stuff from
most of
season
it was
one.
Recap, yeah. But I just think that like they want to save all that, and
it's totally possible that Moff Gideon is not in season 2 as much as we hope that he is. It's possible that he is in season 2 as much as he was in season 1.
That's true.
So they don't want to show anything.
That's true. I feel like they've been putting him on like a lot of the press junket stuff. I know they do that kind of thing all the time with you know, movies, just to, like, almost as like red herrings and stuff, but yeah. It's possible. It's definitely possible. There's nothing that makes that impossible. For sure.
Right.
It's not necessarily the way I'm leaning now, but
yeah,
definitely possible.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts, any theories that come to your mind now that I have awakened you to the fact that Ilum and Starkiller Base are most likely the same exact place?
Yeah.
Besides that. Mithral, what do you think about the blue Mithral being
the
back?
Blue Mithral guy? Yeah, like let's get some more recurring bits and stuff in. I'm fine with all that. Surely it's going to be kind of a very comedic situation, like when he comes in.
You did say something along the lines of he stole or they stole that stormtrooper carrier. What if he was being a prisoner at that facility? And he ends up helping them steal that, and that's how he kind of escapes out of captivity. And when the Mandalorian meets up with them, you know, it's going to be like, wait a second, I put you there. You know what I mean?
That's very possible. I tend to think through, I reserve thinking through possible scenarios that far for the armorer being a Zabrak as well as Den meeting Bo-Katan in prison. I have that all mapped out exactly how it's going to happen in my head.
Well, the listeners, when we get to the voicemails, they totally buy that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's happening.
All right.
So
there's no way to be disappointed now.
No, it's because it's just happening. It's just a fact, happening. So I can't. Listeners, that is not a fact. That is an opinion. But it's more fun to die on a hill than to be wishy-washy about something. So.
Literally since season one, you have been saying...
I've been saying it
Mandalorian
for a long time.
Will meet Bo-Katan in prison.
Yeah.
And it has... like, it's out of nowhere. Like, it's just... He will meet her in prison. Which I guess there's some logic to it based on the fact that Moff Gideon has the Darksaber. And we know that before he had it, Bo-Katan had it, right?
Right. So we know that something has happened to Bo-Katan. Something has happened that she does not have the Darksaber anymore. Right. Yeah, it's not good. But because we think, you know... I think, honestly, the whole prison thing is hopeful because the only other scenario would be that they cast Katee Sackhoff to play Bo-Katan for, like, a flashback of her death scene or something, you know? Which I don't want that to be the case. Like, that'd be awful, right?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be good, but it'd be heart-wrenching, right? You know. But, like, I want to get, like, as much as possible of, like, live-action Bo-Katan, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the only logical conclusion is that she's in an Imperial prison, which it kind of looks like they're busting out of.
Yep. So maybe Bo-Katan was flying around beside, you know, the transport. She got her jetpack back and now she's flying around outside just right behind him, you know? You never know.
Well, we will know soon.
No, never will. It's impossible to know.
Okay. Well, you know who does know stuff?
The listeners?
They do.
Do we want to hear some of that stuff from them?
We do.
All right. Well, I guess it's about time we play a voicemail, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Alex, Mac, what's going on? Just wanted to call in and give my initial thoughts on that trailer the day after, so I guess it's not my first initial thoughts. But the more I watch it, the more excited I am, the more I think that was the perfect trailer. It didn't reveal anything. We're 11 days away, 10 days as of today. We didn't need anything. This is a trailer for the mass audiences who are tuning in to watch football to remind people, hey, in a week and a half, you got more Mandalorian. I'm excited for that. I'm glad they didn't reveal any of the big secrets from the show. I'd rather, you know, experience that, you know, watching it live. Anyway, I do have one thought. I've been a little surprised by the reaction online. I feel like it's overall kind of negative on the fact that it wasn't really a new trailer, to, you know, 2-3 minutes long with some big shot, even though it was marketed, I think, as like a special look instead of a trailer. Personally, it's a little surprising. And I do, there's one thing I want to say. I really hope that people keep their expectations in check for the show. I know that there's been a lot of rumors of various characters with various levels of confirmation, but no like official Disney, Lucasfilm, you know, Ahsoka will be in the show, that kind of thing. And I just really hope that people will keep their expectations in check, that this show might not go in that direction. Likely will, but I don't want to see any, I'm really nervous about the kind of negativity that might come should, you know, things not pan out in the way that we're all expecting. If it doesn't, hopefully it's even better than we ever expected, but I just, seeing the reaction today made me a little concerned, I guess. Anyway, I don't know if this is worth playing on the show. I just wanted to share my thoughts out loud because my wife's tired of hearing me talk about Star Wars. So, yeah, anyway, I have spoken. Talk to you guys soon. Can't wait to watch these episodes and experience New Mandalorian. 10 days. That's exciting. 10 days. Here we go.
Mysterious stranger from parts unknown. I really appreciate that voicemail because it's... It encapsulates a lot of the same thoughts that I had last night seeing the reaction online to that special look, and something that I've been thinking about over the past few weeks as we go into season 2 of The Mandalorian, and that is What are our expectations for the show?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it is very important, I think, what he was talking about. Like, keeping your expectations in check. Like, nothing has been posted on StarWars.com, so nothing is confirmed. That's the kind of the rule. But, yeah, we have some very good, credible rumors and that kind of thing to work with. But, I mean, at the end of the day, anything is subject to change up until any point. So,
what happens? I mean, let's go ahead and, like, most everyone listening knows the rumors, right? What if those major let's just call them the major characters.
The major characters that are rumored. That's a great... Yeah, I think that's good.
What if they don't show up in season two? What then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important anytime we're going into anything is always to, like, when you're actually engaging in the thing, in the story, like, take the story for what it is. Like, just... Like, I, for one, like, even if none of my predictions and things that I feel strongly about or think strongly that are going to happen, like, even if none of those come to pass, as long as the story's great, I'm happy, right? Right. Like, I just want a great story. And, like, we all have to get in that mode, I guess. Like, let's just take the story as it is. I could see a world where they shot some stuff during this production cycle that won't make it in until season three, you know? Like they could have went ahead and shot some things cause some schedules worked better or things like that, you know? So could be that some of those rumors are premature. Like there's all kinds of scenarios like that could be occurring.
The thing is too, it's like we knew nothing going into season one. Like literally there were no leaks. Nobody knew about Baby Yoda. Nobody knew about those things. I do remember the closer we got to season one, I remember that Yoda's species would be involved, but I did not realize that it'd be like a baby him and he would be like the star of the show, right?
Right. Right.
This season's a little different because there's been what feels like, I mean, comparatively to season one, a lot of leaks.
Rumors. Yeah.
A lot of leaks. And so it's like, well, how do you manage expectations now for one of the most popular shows that's ever been? And so I do think it's important to keep your expectations in check. I think what Max said is perfectly said, that take it for what it is and enjoy it that way. And if you get those nice surprises that you are hoping for, even better. If not, try to enjoy what there is. And I think that's always been our MO on the show, is like, even with like people who hate, you know, Chapter 5 or Toro Calican, you can always feel there's a levity to that, right? There's like I enjoy this because it is dumb. Like that is a dumb thing.
And that's great. Like it's, I wouldn't have it any other way. But, right. You know?
And so, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't let The Mandalorian become everything else in Star Wars. Right. Let's have this special thing.
Yeah, let's just have it and engage with it with whatever it ends up being, and then that'll be it.
and here's something that I think we all need to come to terms with right now. There will be loud, and let me say loud, haters of season two, because absolutely, it will be a popular thing to do of like, oh, I'm going to hate on this thing that everybody loves. That's been since the beginning of time. Right. Now that it's got momentum and steam, there's going to be people actively trying to tear it down solely because it is popular. And that's it.
For sure. And like that, and then also like, I'm sure they're going to take the show in some new directions and stuff in season two, because you have to do that with a show in order to keep it alive and still relevant, and you know, not just the same story told in three different paraphrases, you know. Like, so when that happens, there will be some backlash that's like, oh, they're going against the formula that we liked so much, and you know, things like that. But it just, again, we just gotta engage with what we get and take and just see how we feel about that, you know?
Right.
And just judge it purely based on it.
Right. Right. So I think that was a great call from the mysterious hooded Mandalorian stranger from parts unknown.
He just kept his helmet on. That's it. He's just he's kind of the old way, so.
I recognize the voice, though. I feel like
perhaps he's a repeat before. Caller, someone we know, but just not by name.
Right. He just assumed we knew who it was.
Maybe.
Just by voice.
I don't know. Let us know. If you're a patron or something, be like, hey, dummies, you forgot my name.
Yes.
And we'll be like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And we'll make it up to you. All right.
Yeah.
But thanks for your call.
Yes.
Alex, you want to do another one?
Let's please do another one.
Hey, guys. Casey here. I'm sitting here with my two-year-old Maeve. She's sitting here with a book called I Am a Padawan, and she wants to give her season 2 Mandalorian predictions. Who's on the cover of that book?
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka? And who do you think she's going to see? Is she going to be on the Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Who do you think she'll hang out with? Mandalorian and Baby Yoda?
Yeah.
Wow, do you think they're going to do fun Jedi things? Yeah, to keep Baby Yoda safe from Moff Gideon? Yeah? Very cool. Well, there's our season 2 predictions. That's all we got. I can't believe we're 2 weeks away. It is, wow, it's going to be so unreal to see more this show and get to experience it alongside you guys. So, yeah, here we go. 2 more weeks. Thanks for taking my call. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Casey, thank you so much for letting Maeve come on and let us know what she's looking forward to. That was adorable.
Very adorable.
Oh, man. Yeah, so she's looking forward to seeing Baby Yoda, and aren't we all, Maeve? Aren't we all?
Also, tell her to keep her expectations in check just in case.
because
we don't want anybody upset.
Don't want any broken hearts. Yeah, but I think Maeve might get to.
She sounds adorable.
Yeah, yeah.
Casey, for sure. You're doing something right as a dad. Obviously, you're passing on what you have learned to the next generation, and we appreciate you, Casey.
Absolutely, Casey. Man, that's what the Mandalorian's about. Like. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome thing. It's so intergenerational. Like I've sat down and watched the whole season 1 with my dad. Like just me and him, and it's such a cool thing. Like it's just bringing people together, and it's keeping you and I in touch from across states, and it's what Star Wars is about. When it's the best, it's about bringing people together. You know.
Yes, it is about bringing people together.
Yeah, so let's remember that while we move into season 2. I think that's a very important lesson from Casey and Maeve. So Casey, thanks so much for calling in, man. We'll see y'all later. We'll talk to y'all hopefully again soon.
Now let's get weird. Let's play this next voicemail.
Hey Mac and Alex, this is Zach from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, calling again. I called the other day, just stating my theory that we are dealing with some sort of cloning operation that involves the child. I was listening to a voicemail episode of yours from a while back, and you were talking about how Dr. Pershing has a Kamino symbol on his uniform. So putting that together with the fact that the client states to him in Chapter 3 that he only has a limited amount of time to extract the necessary material and move on. I do think that I do think that Moff Gideon or potentially somebody else that's at least connected to the Empire or was connected to the Empire is looking to create another clone army. I think somebody is thinking how can they achieve galactic dominance. And with that, they thought of the Republic and the clone army, and how can they elevate the clone army to make better, stronger clones? And that would be through force-sensitive DNA. So, and particularly force-sensitive DNA from one of the most force-sensitive beings in the galaxy. So let me know what your thoughts are on that. Thanks for all that you guys do. I love listening to the podcast. Keep it up. And I'm counting down the days until we get season 2. So thanks, guys. Keep the watch.
Thank you, Zach. When I said, let's get weird, you followed me. You followed me right into that weirdness.
We're getting weird. All right. I love a cloning theory. I love it.
Yes, a good cloning theory. Well, here's the thing, is that he's not... I don't feel like he's far off base in terms of... We do know that Dr. Pershing...
Yeah.
The guy... Basically, the guy with the 1940-style scientist glasses with Werner Herzog's character, mainly in Chapter 3, was doing strange things to Baby Yoda when nobody was looking and like examining him and stuff. And he claimed Dr. Pershing
he was keeping the baby safe, but
we'll see. He did have a Kamino symbol on him, and they did mention cloning in the show when Quill asked something basically about Cara Dune.
Cara Dune looked like she could have been genetically engineered, basically.
Right. So do you think that the theory of like making a clone army and extracting force-sensitive DNA, you think that's a thing?
I mean, that makes it definitely makes sense. It'd be maybe like they were trying to make an army of Inquisitors, basically. Like, you know, that could be true. Like, I don't think, especially
tricky.
In this show, we're ever going to get to the point where we see a cloned army at all, you know? I think maybe that could have... So, here's the thing. So, Sasha Banks' character.
Mm-hmm.
What if she was, like, the first prototype of the program?
Here's the thing, though. Like, why go through the extra work of like getting force sensitive DNA, which I don't even think, according to what we know of Star Wars, can work because the midichlorians and stuff, if you still want to go by that, which
but
Dave
I mean,
Filoni
like,
would.
If we're going by that, wouldn't midichlorians, wouldn't that be like a genetically inherited trait?
No, not necessarily, because they attach themselves to users.
Yeah, that's
how I understand it.
Yeah.
It's almost like a parasite. You have a parasite that allows you to use the force.
That's why I don't like that.
That's why people don't like midichlorians. Right, exactly.
Right.
Anyways. But even if that's not the case, just take midichlorians out of it. Why create a clone army and then like make them force sensitive when you could just clone Jedi and like just train them to be evil? Like, even make them, like, a clone army as though in the sense of, like, what we think of in the Republic. Just, like, clone Jedi.
Yeah, but they might think that they've gotten rid of all the Jedi.
Well, clearly they know that the child, Baby Yoda, is Force-sensitive.
Right.
And they want to do something with that.
Yeah, so you forget that this, like, Moff Gideon's operation is, at this point, completely removed from the Empire. So... Moff Gideon could be...
Maybe.
This is his own new plan, and he is operating under the assumption that the Jedi have been wiped out. So he's like, oh, maybe I have the last, like, Force-sensitive being. I could see how it could work.
He could be pulling a Thrawn, which is in the original Thrawn trilogy. Thrawn was basically cloning Jedi, like Jorah Sabath and Luke Skywalker, Luke with an extra U. That's basically what was Grand Admiral Thrawn's plan. Literally, like the same time period that we're in now, but this is just canon.
Right.
And the other one wasn't.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. It could happen.
It could happen.
I like it.
It's 2020. Like it. Anything can happen.
Yeah. For sure. Well, I think, Zach, thank you for calling in. I think the theory is credible. I think it could happen. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Let's do one more.
All right.
Hey, guys. This is Noah here from Tennessee. I just wanted to call in and give you my predictions for this upcoming season. My final predictions, I'll make it short. Love the pod, by the way. Been a Patreon member for forever. First off, I think by the end, Baby Yoda says its first words. Don't at me. I think it's going to happen. Number two, I think we're going to find out why the Mandalorians started keeping their helmets on nonstop. I think that when they lost in the Night of a Thousand Tears, it was almost like a shame thing. We can never take off our helmets because we got beat so bad by the Empire. Okay, so that's my second one. And Bo-Katan's going to lead him into taking his helmet off and not feeling the shame. And then number three, I think Sasha Banks is a member of the Night Owls. That's a crucial one. I think she is going to recruit the Mandalorian to break out Bo-Katan. I think that Sasha Banks is a Night Owl. Thanks, guys. I like to hear what you think. Bye.
All right, Noah. So it looks like I've got another subscriber to the Bo-Katan in prison theory. Yeah. So
let's start with the first one.
Baby Yoda saying his first words.
I like that.
I think
theory.
It's very, very plausible. Yeah.
Dad.
I think we could get it. I'd love it to be like a Mandalorian word or something like that.
Beskar.
Or maybe just or maybe just like Din or something. Maybe he just says Din's name. I don't want him to call Din dad or anything like that. Like
Papa. Just,
nah. Nah, just something that really relates to the situation.
Let me go home.
Frog. Yeah. Eat frog.
Eat frog. Eat frog. Yeah, I like maybe that one. And then the second one, I like this one as well. Honestly, no, I like all three. The second one is we're going to find out why specifically the covert kept their helmets on. And I like the idea that it's a shame thing.
Yeah. It's almost, they've like exiled themselves.
I could totally see a situation where they realize that, because if you're not aware of the situation on Mandalore leading into A Night of a Thousand Tears, basically a group of pacifist Mandalorians took over and totally changed their way of life, their culture, their mindset, their values, all of it. And I could see where a group of Mandalorians they come to the conclusion that A Night of a Thousand Tears happened because they let themselves get to that point. Yeah, because they were weak. And so they'll never turn their backs on the old ways again. And so they're going to like commit to the old ways of doing things forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I could see it. And then that leads us into Bo-Katan. So basically, Noah, you're saying Sasha Banks being a Night Owl comes to kind of be like, hey, come help us. You know, hey, heard you were looking for Mandalorians. I'm a Mandalorian. Know where another one is who could probably help you out. Let's bust her out together.
That's probably my favorite theory about Sasha Banks, to be honest with you. I like it even better than ours.
It's mine for sure. Yeah. I've heard that theory that she's a Night Owl before, but never taken to that length with
Now that we know that he's looking for Mandalorians.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. So I love those three theories, Noah, and thank you for being a Patreon member. We love you.
Yeah, Noah. And we appreciate you. Thanks for your support, and keep keeping the watch. All right, Alex. Well, that will do it for this one, I think.
Yep.
You got anything else to add?
Yeah, I will just say, guys, this wait between the end of chapter 8 and then waiting for chapter 9 to premiere has been long. It's been very long. There's been a lot of ups and downs, especially, I'm sure, in all of our personal lives in terms of 2020. And
2020 COVID happened in between then.
So. Yeah, and with all sincerity and seriousness, I just want to thank you guys for listening and thank you for being a part. And nothing would mean more to us if you could just by word of mouth tell people about our podcast. And when people watch the show, let them know about the Mandalorian Watch, because that's how podcasts grow, is by word of mouth.
For sure. Yeah. And you guys have all been so great and so supportive.
So great.
We're floored by just the outpouring of support that we've gotten for this show. But let's just keep it going. Yeah, just when the Mandalorian's coming up, you know, in your casual conversations at work or wherever, you know, school, you know, whatever you're doing, just like, hey, maybe, yeah, listen to a great podcast about that or something like that. You know, yeah. just slip one in there. That's because just the more people we get in on the same conversation, just the stronger of a community we can build and the deeper we can dive into this thing that we all love, you know?
Yeah. And so, we don't believe in the gatekeeping thing. That's been something that's been part of our MO since the beginning, is like, we wanted to do away with that kind of culture and mindset and fandom. Yeah. And like this show is a new gateway for potential new Star Wars fans. And that's what I want. I want people to become fans of Star Wars, and this could be a way that they do that. And so let's open it up. Let's let everybody be a part of it. And I can't wait to see what happens in season two. Like we've said before, we'll keep our expectations in check, but we're going to have so much fun. Let's just have fun together as we watch season two.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, I don't think I could add anything to it. So I'll just leave y'all with, until next time, until we are here talking about season two, unless anything crazy happens between that now and then. Keep the watch. Unforgotten tenderness, plaguing me with